All right. I want to continue this morning what I started sharing last week. Make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Okay, so just to begin with, I'll just quickly recap what we talked about and progress from then. I started off with 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. It says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." And as we've been hearing, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, God is pouring out His Spirit so that we can receive His grace, His love, and His communion so that we can engage with our Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read Luke chapter 1, verse 13 to 17 again, just so we get the idea of what it's all about. And this is the visitation of Zechariah when he encountered the angel Gabriel. And the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness." Hallelujah. Joy and gladness. All right. "And many will rejoice at his birth." All right. So we've been hearing joy this morning, didn't we? All right, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." Now, from here on, this is where we want to catch. "And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God." Verse 17. "And he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready people prepared for the Lord." Okay, so we see that John the Baptist was sent, a messenger was sent. He came in the power and the spirit of Elijah. And the words that I highlighted in that verse in bold is the emphasis here. Is that we see that there will be a people, the children of Israel, the church, God's people, would turn to the Lord their God. And we will also see the hearts of the fathers turn to the hearts of the children, and the hearts of the children turned to the hearts of the father. And so we are talking about this this year, this theme of increase. Okay, we are seeing a God is pouring out His Spirit. We've been hearing that from at least last year. And God is pouring out, now we're hearing God is pouring out intimacy. God is pouring out the dimension of His love. The love with which the Father God loved Jesus is the same love that He loves us. And is the same love that we are to be united with one another. John chapter 17 talks about that. But we talk about, make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And so we talked about preparation. We talked about how, you know, we don't come with nothing, but God is the God of increase. He will cause us to increase. He will cause us to go from glory to glory when we put the Word of God in us, when we come equipped by the Spirit. And we talked about last week really briefly is we talked about we must know what we're preparing for. If we don't know what we prepare for, then we prepare amiss. We prepare for the wrong thing. Or we get busy with other things that get in our way. All right, but there's a scripture in Isaiah somewhere. I might have put it there. I think it's in 57 somewhere. Verse 14. I'll just verbalize it. I think it's somewhere there, but it doesn't matter. But it says this. Isaiah chapter 57 verse 14 says, "And one shall say, heap it up, prepare the way, take the stumbling block out of the way of my people." You know, so we're talking about making ready a people. We got to take out, all right, maybe just write out the reference there, but Isaiah 57 verse 14, but it says, remove the stumbling block. We got to get rid of the stumbling block because there are stumbling blocks in our lives that stops us from reaching the potential that God has for us. And we've heard this before. Our pastors have shared it. We all have potential. You know, potential is great. You know, we can see someone has great skills, has great, capacity to do great things in the future. Right from the young age, you can sort of spot an eye on someone's, oh, wow, he's got this good and musical talent and all these things. But potential is not reached until you actually develop it. You can have as much potential as, you know, the seed has so much potential, but if the seed is not sown and is not planted and is not watered, all right, the seed will never reach its potential. In like manner, we are crying out for the increase of God in our lives. And in like manner, we need the sowing and the watering of the Word of God upon our lives by the Spirit of God. So essential. And so that's why we need to do that in our lives. Amen. So we got to get rid of the stumbling blocks. Get things that are preventing us from growing. Amen. What are we preparing for? Okay. And the gist of the message, if you maybe didn't catch it, was that we do not want to miss the person. That means what? To encounter the coming of the Lord. Whenever God reveals Himself, we do not want to miss Him. All right, in a meeting like this, for example, on a Sunday celebration, we can come here just like Jacob. He was going on doing his own business, but he did not realize that God was in this place. So he went to sleep, and when he woke up from his dream, he said, "This is the house of God, the gateway to heaven, and where angels were ascending and descending." He did not know. He completely missed it. But by the mercy of God, you know, God encountered him. God opened his eyes, gave him a dream, and began to encounter God and things like that. But the whole thing is, we do not want to miss. And we talked about how business of life, or the lifestyle of the Pharisees that lived in a place of no revelation. And we heard that this morning, and I like that. Without knowledge, without revelation, leads to imitation. All right, what that means is, we have knowledge without revelation. We can sort of all do all the numbers that we do in church without having the essence or the substance of what the knowledge or the revelation really is that God wants to say to us. But we talked about we need to continuously live in a continual flow of God's revelation and God's beauty, of God's love for us. And I believe that's what God has been outpouring in this season of time. The Pharisees missed Jesus. And they are the ones who had the scriptures. They are the ones who were the interpreters of the word, but they completely missed him completely, right? They're still waiting for the Messiah, but the Messiah came. We talked about the power, the purpose, and the person. We don't focus on the power. We don't focus on the ministry or how I can do, what I can do for God, or how much greatness I can display and all that kind of stuff. But the power has a purpose. The works that Jesus did was to point to the Father. It's like, if you don't believe my works, I mean, you don't believe me, at least believe my works, because my works testify of who I am, and he testifies of the Father. That's what Jesus said. So the signs, the works, the good works, the power, and all that stuff has a purpose. And the purpose is to bring us to the person of Christ. Amen. So we talked about that last week, and we say we don't want to miss. We talked about considering our own ways. All right, and instead of doing our own thing, because the moment we miss the person, we start building on the temporal, missing the mark, and letting go of eternal things. The Bible tells us that where your heart is, there your treasure is also. All right, where is your treasure and where is my treasure? So this is a bit of a recap here, all right, of what we talked about last week. And we also said, how do we know that a people has been made ready to the Lord, for the Lord? Okay, and the answer lies here. When many turn to the Lord God. These are some of the signs, okay? All right, this is not it all, but I'm just saying, from based on Luke chapter 1, from what we read, and obviously linking that with Malachi chapter 4, says, when many turn to the Lord, number one, and number two, when the hearts of the fathers turn to their children, and the hearts of the children turn to the fathers. Mentioned last week is that we live in a generation where parenthood or fatherhood or that relationship has been destroyed, especially in the society that we live in. But this needs to be restored. And even now, God is outpouring a revelation of who He is as our Father. Amen. So may God begin to raise from this place and the body of Christ fathers that will point to the Father God, amen, that will speak like Him, that will know how to deal, what to say and how to do things, amen, because there's a generation that has been hurt, that has been completely hurt, relationship that has been completely destroyed, but needs healing. And the nation of Australia is going to be healed by the power of the Spirit of God. Amen? So what does that look practically? Okay, so number one, that means we will respond to the love of the Father. That means we turn to Abba Father. Amen? Amen. I'm just excited that God has just been revealing His love for us so much. And we just want to respond to the love of God. Amen. Number two is that, right, this is practically what it looks like, right? I mean, it's great to read it from Luke chapter 1, but it means that you and I will turn to God. Amen? Are you with me so far this morning? Number two is that we will respond to our spiritual parents. Is that important? All right, there's a place for that, okay? And maybe we'll get a chance to talk about this a little bit more. But wholesome relationship between spiritual parents and spiritual children. And we also see there will be a responding to parents. Children will be responding to parents and vice versa, obviously. And parents will be turning to their children. Okay, and, you know, perhaps there are people here this morning that, you know, maybe you need a healing in that sort of area in your life. Maybe it is our natural, biological parents, or maybe someone, you know, your spiritual authority, or maybe even Father God. Who knows, right? But I pray, and we pray this morning that there will be a release and the grace of God for a restored relationship for wherever you are. Maybe it's not even a broken relationship. Maybe we just need to learn our parents even more. I mean, I know we love our parents, but what I'm saying is a wholesome relationship. Sometimes people like friends more than parents, hence why they leave home and go stay with friends, you know, especially in this day and this age. That's what a lot of people do. As the moment they're old enough, they just chabut, you know, disappear. Anyway, let me continue now, because this is a bit of a recap here, okay? All right, so I want to read from Mark chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. And there are four things I will make a declaration for, and then there's four things that are for the main message, okay? So this is a preps, okay? Preparing. So Mark chapter 1, verse 9 to 11, it says this. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I want to pick out four things that I just want to make as a declaration this morning. And the first word is, next slide, immediately. All right? This is pointing to an acceleration. Immediately. Now. Immediately. Number two, the heavens parting. It speaks of open heavens. And the prophetic theme for this year for our church is a double decade of open heavens. All right? You'll be seeing that in the upcoming newsletter cover when it's ready. Number three is the Spirit descending. There is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about this outpouring over and over again. I hope that our spirit has captured that phrase now, okay, until it really, I mean, maybe it's up here, but it's got to reach our hearts. Amen. Number four is the voice from heaven came. The voice came from heaven. That is the Father, the voice of the Father. Much can be said from here on, but I just want to declare over our church and over the body of Christ that we are in a season of acceleration. There is open heavens upon our lives. There's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and we are tuning our ears to hear the Father. And just like Father God revealed to Peter the revelation of who Jesus is, I pray we receive more and more this revelation, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for these truths. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for this, oh God. Amen and amen and amen. So now, I want to share four points this morning. And the first point is, we're still talking about preparing a people ready. And if we want to be ready, that means we need to be prepared. Right, okay, yeah. I don't know, I just said the same thing in a different way. All right? And preparation will lead us to the finality of what we're preparing for. And so, knowing that what I've just declared this morning, and this is not something I'm just declaring today. These are things we've been hearing, okay? I'm not kind of just declaring there is going to be an acceleration. We've been hearing this for a long time. There is an acceleration. There's an outpouring. The heavens are open. We've been hearing those things. I just want to amplify that message this morning. And point number one, as we prepared in this period, in this season of time where God is moving right now, we must know that we are living in a time of acceleration. We are living in a time of acceleration. Suddenly, God appeared at the temple. All right, we're going to read the scripture in a moment. But we got to catch the wave or we get left behind. Say, catch the wave or get left behind. We are living in a time of acceleration. I mean, we look at technology. We have seen the acceleration in technology. In so many things, in travels and in knowledge, the acceleration, the amount of things that you know that is out there in such a short amount of time is mind-blowing. But not just naturally, but in the spirit, there is an acceleration. I remember hearing that almost a decade ago. Let me read some scriptures first and make some comments on this. Isaiah 60, 22, we've read that before, but I'll we'll declare this again. A little one shall become a thousand, a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in His time. I, the Lord. The Lord is the God of acceleration. He is the God of increase. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord, in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Suddenly, right? But the suddenly didn't happen unless they were waiting in the upper room. Does that make sense? Unless there was some form of preparation. Do you know what I'm talking about? They could have been at the wrong place at the wrong time or the wrong place at the right time. All right, that makes sense. Anyway, if you're following. But you got to be at the right place at the right time, waiting when Jesus said, go and wait, tarry, and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. So there is something that we must do to receive, you know, what God actually wants us to receive. Malachi chapter 3 verse 1, he says, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Prepare the way, and the Lord whom you seek suddenly will appear in the temple. Everybody say suddenly. Suddenly. Amen. So in this time of season of acceleration, you know, if things are moving fast, as we've heard, January is almost over. Isn't it frightening? I mean, I think of it, it's wow. I'm like, it almost feels like in no time, you know, I might be 50, 60. I mean, I don't know. And part of me is like, Lord, I'd like to stay, you know, at my age, you know, in my 20s and my, you know, event, you know, it would be so great, wouldn't it, you know? I actually thought of that recently. I mean, not in preparation for this message, but I actually thought, I looked at myself like, one day I'll have less hair and wrinkles, and it's like, how long will this last, Lord? Give me some good genes. Okay, but time is flying really fast, really fast. I don't know. For myself, I've kept saying this for a lot over and over again. I say just time is just flying so fast. I don't know where this is going to lead. But I like to look young. What about you? Yeah. That's one of the seven longing to look good, right? To be beautiful. I like to be beautiful, don't you? Okay. All right. But very important for in this time of acceleration, we do not want to miss the wave. Say, I don't want to miss the wave. You know, and in this time of acceleration, when we talk about, you know, all of these things, it depends. You know, I say this because I not because I think I'm great, Well, there is a longing for great there, sorry, there is. But I'm not saying that for that reason. But I remember coming here in 2010, and I had heard this word. There's a acceleration. This is a decade of acceleration. I heard that being proclaimed. I knew nothing of what it meant. Okay? Anyway, but as time went by, I the stirrings of God in my heart began to increase. And God began to do something in my life that I knew that, I was moving forward. Okay, I was, I was growing. Okay, growing doesn't mean you're without immature. I mean, still immature, right? I mean, if you've heard my previous messages, you know what I'm talking about, okay? When I say I've matured or I've grown, it doesn't mean that, I was top-notch, kind of thing, right? Spotless without wrinkle. Many dark spots still. But the whole thing is that I must recognize that I recognize at least that I know that God has been doing something for, and for the past 9 years at least, in my life. And the thing is, it didn't come with just doing nothing about it. You know what I'm saying? And God was beginning to stir. God began to open doors for me. And pastors would ask me, okay, why don't you come for this training? Why don't you go to Malaysia for this? And why don't you come for a whole month and just, be part of the church there? Why don't you come for Friday, Bible studies, we're studying doctrine and all of that. By the grace of God, I responded. By the mercy of God, I responded. And I say, you may not think so, but I think it paid off. Okay? Because, and I say this not out of pride, I'm saying this because I do not know where I would be if, I shut all the doors. Because these are doors that God are opening in our lives. You might say, well, you're depending on men right now. But God is actually using people to make sure I actually enter the doors that God actually wants me to. And by responding to it, at the same time, we need to have a desire, a want-to. And so in this season of acceleration, God is just taking us. I was going through maths with the children. And remember, I'm only assisting them, just basic maths, okay? Just don't think I'm like this mathematician or something like that. I'll leave that for the likes of Dino. But I was just helping them with just simple word problems. Okay, like I'll give you an example. So hopefully it's not too difficult. I don't think it's too difficult. So you have a problem here, okay? You have $10, okay? Or let's say $12, okay? And let's make up the question now, okay? You got $12, you spent 3/4 of it. How much do you have left? Okay. Are you following me so far? This is not rocket science, right? You got $12. You spent 3/4, you have 1/4 left. So how much money do you have left? Okay, there's two ways of working this out, okay? You can say 3/4 is equal 9. Okay, 3/4 divided by 4 times 9, right? And if you do the thing, you get 9, right? Right? Just in case I'm actually saying it wrong. Okay, then you can do 12 minus 9. Right? 3. Okay, then you get to say, okay, how much money do I have left? 3. Is that true? Now, I'm only using a small number. If you wanted to do the other way, you'd do what? 1/4 times 12, right? So rather than doing this whole workout, then do a big minus, you just grab the remaining fraction and just multiply that by the 12. You will still get the same answer. Is that true? Or if you're really good at your maths, you don't even need to do any of that. You'll know instantly that it's 3, right? But my point is this, as I was teaching them, I was like, wow, if we are living in a time of acceleration, God is actually giving us ways. We're still reaching to the same place. We're still going to the same destination. We're still trying to achieve the same results. But you don't have to do it the long-winded way, which causes where you can make a lot more mistakes by doing a lot of more workouts, right? You can just do a simple one and you get there a lot quicker. So I just want to say that, in this time of acceleration, God is going to give us the wisdom to do what God wants us to do in a fast, efficient way. Amen? Amen. All right. Number 2, I want to talk to you about is we are living in times of extremes, I should say. All right, so the reason I talk of acceleration, if we miss the boat, we miss it. We don't want to miss it. And if we missed a little bit, we actually miss much because it's just flying, isn't it? Do you know what I'm saying? So don't miss out. Let's have a heart that says, I don't want to miss out. I remember, you know, and this is true, you know, I had missed one session on one of the Friday mornings, I remember. And I felt, no, Lord, I miss it. Remember, you can't really get those material like you can now those days, you know. You can go on YouTube and get a lot of stuff now. But that particular time, I remember we listened to we did something together on the Friday morning. And Pastor, and I couldn't come because I can't remember. I had something on anyway. And I felt like, oh man, if I miss it, I'll miss a lot. You know, and so I said, you know, Pastor, is it okay? I actually did it properly this time. Okay, not like the old story where don't worry about that. But I actually said, Pastor, would it be okay if I actually borrow the disc? I actually still remember what disc it was at the back of my mind. And, you know, and obviously they were pleased. And what I'm trying to say here is that something that God puts in our hearts that we do not want to miss. Amen? So don't miss, because God is accelerating. We don't want to be left behind. Number two, we are living in times of extreme. If we are living in times of extremes, how do we prepare? All right? So I'm trying to be as relevant to what's happening around us here in speaking this in preparation here. We need balance. Everybody say balance. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 1 says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. We are living in times of extremes. Extremes. There should be an S there, I think. I just want to quickly read Revelation chapter 12, verse 13 to 15. Okay, if you get confused about the dragon and the male child and all that stuff, don't focus on that right now, okay? But let's read it nevertheless. Revelation chapter 12, verse 13 to 15. And when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman. Okay, the dragon is the Satan, right? And the woman is the church, who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to a place where she would be nourished for a time, times half a time, 3.5 years during the great tribulation, from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. This dragon, Satan, this old serpent, right, is spewing out water out of his mouth, right? Speaks of words here, remember? Right, if you study the Song of Solomon, again, here is like Pastor Machen did earlier, stirring out your interest to study that book. You know, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth speaks of the kisses of his words. Okay? In the same manner here, you have here, out of his mouth, he's speaking words. What kind of words? Words that are destructive like a flood. Do you understand that? Okay, so that he might cause it to be carried away by the flood. There is a destructive things that are being said. Could it be doctrines or even the media? They are spewing a flood that is trying to cause us to be shaken and to lose our stability in life. All right, so we got to be very careful in the days these kind of days that we're living in, because extremes will go from either side of the pendulum, right? And if we're not secured, if we're not secured in sound, and I must say sound, not just doctrine, but sound doctrine, we will waver. But the Bible says we want we need to be equipped, right? We need to be equipped so we will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We don't want to be shaken like that. You see, the parables of the wheats and the tares, it speaks of the kingdom of God, okay? I know I'm not actually going into that particular interpretation, but the principle in here is that in the kingdom you have mixture, good and bad, good and bad. In the midst of the good and bad, you're going to have extremes. Good, bad, good and bad, good only, bad only. You know, there's going to be all kinds of mixture. And we are living that. They are going side by side until the very end when Jesus returns. Okay? The parables of the wheat and the tares, all right? Matthew chapter 13. I don't want to go into the details. It's just going to drag it too much. But just get the principle is what I'm trying to grab. Is the principle is the good and the bad are growing side by side until the end harvest. All right, so we are living right now in this mixture. What do we do in the midst of the mixture? It's important that we learn how to verbalize what we believe in. You know, for my own personal benefit, I found through growing up, but you know, as I was younger in the Lord, and you know, I was spending a lot of time with pastors. You know, one of the things that they did with me was that they would share something, or they would we would read a book, or would hear, you know, a clip or something, or an audio, and they'll ask me instead, okay, now you share what you just heard, but you don't just, I mean, it started out, you know, I'll just repeat what I heard, but then the other step was, now you share it as if you are the one sharing it in front of 500 people, if there was only 5 people, for example. This is a true story, okay, this is not. And by doing that, I learn how to not just contain information in my head, but actually to speak it out. Because I don't know if you realize that, but when you're able to, you know, a lot of times you get, you assume, it's like, oh yeah, I know what that means. And then, okay, so what does it mean? And you like mumble and stumble. You don't really have the words to say. I mean, like, I know, but I don't know how to say it. But in my head, I know. But when you start to learn how to verbalize those things, it becomes very clear in your mind. You're able to say it. You're able to speak it. Is that right? Is that true? It's true. So it is important that we, you know, have sound doctrine, but also learn how to speak what we believe in. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, that we must be ready to give a defense of the hope that is in us. Always be ready. In and out of season, be ready to do that. Sound doctrine, okay? So get equipped, all right? Get equipped into the sound doctrine of the Word of God. Extremes. All kinds of extremes going out there. You know, one of the, you know, even right now, you know, we're sort of getting ready for the Easter parade, and we're thinking about the theme, and we were kind of sensing maybe we should just continue along with the theme of love, all right? Because we've been hearing this outpouring of love, and so we were just discussing, and you know, with Adrian and all, and talking about, okay, what's a possible theme then about love? How can we make it catchy? So we're coming up with all those kind of anything about love, you know, love extreme or extravagant love, or love is, love has won. And then we came up, love has won. That sounds pretty good. But I was like, hey, that sounds like something else, you know? Yeah. And, you know, and do you know what I'm talking about? Okay. So one of the catchphrase, I suppose, that, I don't know how you call that. What do you call that? Wouldn't be a slogan, but it was something that was said very much for the LGBT community, you know, that, you know, the whole thing about this, why same-sex marriage should be allowed, is because love is more important. As long as the people love each other, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter whether you're from the same sex. As long as you love and you feel that way, everybody should be allowed to marry. And so finally, when it went through, you know, even in, you know, I think it was Michael Turnbull, he was like, love has won. And then they were, you know, officiating all this whole thing. I don't know if there was exact words, but it was something like that. Is it? Love wins. Sorry, it's love wins. Okay. Love wins. And so, you know, even, I mean, a theme, like, I mean, of course you say love wins. Isn't that true? Isn't the love of God overcame and the love of God? But it's like, you got to kind of think twice, because there's another message out there in the world. When you say love wins, they're not thinking about Jesus. They're thinking about same-sex marriage. Is that true? So that's why I say that we are living in times of extreme, whereby you say love and then you don't know what kind of love you're talking about. You know, and even, so it's so important. You know, I had the privilege to send an email to Dr. Kevin Connor. Wow, I feel so privileged. Anyway, at that time we were studying the book of Daniel and Revelation, and I was encouraged by Pastor to just send an email to him, and we just, you know, wanted to clarify some of his notes on one of the books. And I pretty much asked him, I said, in this book it looks like this, in this other book it looks slightly different. Can you please explain what and what is what? And, you know, can you just clarify that? Because we just want to be in precision, in prophetic precision, in accuracy, sons of the house. So so I sent forth the email, and one of the things that he said to me, and I think that stays with me, I think this is going to stay with me, and is this, he said this, you know, I've done my, this is paraphrasing, okay, I've done the research, I've done the study, and I've presented my views the best that I could in what I believe in and what I stand in. However, some of these things will only be revealed when the time comes. So you can't, like, in what he's trying to say is you can't make it for sure. This is 100%. It's like that in this order. It's like there are some things we'll find out then, you know. And so he said, just let, and he finished up with this. He says, let history prove prophecy. So he didn't deny that he didn't believe anything, but he kind of said, okay, yes, I do believe. It's not that I don't believe it. I mean, he wouldn't be writing a book if he didn't believe it, right? But what I caught from that is you got to keep balance. I think that was, for me, that was the catch from that. It's like, yes, no matter how much I believe in it, you don't want to go into any kind of extremes, all right? Though I do draw from his material, and I do believe and stand with what we've learned together with pastors. But I just wanted to throw that out, is we need good balance. There's too much imbalance and all kinds of things and extremes that are happening. Could be even within the body of Christ, but we need to stay true to the Word of God. Amen. And to do that, I'm just throwing that in, is not just, oh, I'm going to keep good doctrine, right? The Bible tells us, how do you know you have good doctrine? When you do the will of God. Amen. So you got to get involved, all right? Not just an intellectual exercise. Number three, receive the John the Baptist ministry. Okay, what I mean by that, I'll explain, okay? Okay, John the Baptist, all right? The John the Baptist, what he did, there's two things that you can pick out from him. Is first, he made a people ready for the Lord, right? That's why he was one crying in the wilderness. And the number two is what he did was he pointed to the coming of the Lord. Two things, right? So I believe that, you know, the church, the last day church, is going to be like a John the Baptist, crying in the wilderness, making way, preparing the way of the Lord. At the same time, there are those who needed to hear that voice to make them ready so that when the Lord comes, they would be prepared. So there's a voice. Hear the voice that's crying in the wilderness, making ready a people. It's important to receive that. We see that in Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, I'm not sure how much detail we're going to go into this. But in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about the fivefold ministry and that they're appointed by God. Okay, and if we want to be ready, this is not the only thing. And I appreciate so much right now how, you know, God is really teaching us how to depend on Him and Him alone. And I don't disregard that in any way, all right? Like I said, I believe we need to have good balance. And I'm really enjoying the fact that, you know, that we can really spend some real quality personal time to pray, read the scripture, to have intimacy with the Lord, and to be able to talk to Him with anything and to be open with Him. And that is something that no other can sort of kind of disturb, right? You can't come in, can't do it for you. You can't, you know, this is something between you and God. And that is amazing. And that is something God is really doing right now in this moment in time. And I don't want to disregard that in any way, but at the same time, God places people over our lives or even around our lives that equips us so that we will be ready, so that we'll be prepared. And that speaks in Ephesians chapter 4. I've read that. It's one of those scriptures that I mentioned over and over again. But in verse 12 of chapter 4, okay, so God gave, in verse 11, he says, He himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. That's a mouthful there, isn't it? All right, there's equipping, the work of the ministry. We don't want to be tossed to and fro. We want to come to the fullness, the measure, the stature of Christ, and the unity of the faith. Wow. And God chose to do that by sending forth, extending His hand, His gift to the church through apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Amen. And so you and I, you know, want to be prepared in these last days. We need to be open to receive from these dimensions that God is releasing in the body of Christ, so that God, we would be ready, so that they will be collaborating with God to prepare us to be ready as the bride of Christ, so that we'll be edified and grow in love. Amen. Look at Elijah and Elisha. All right. Elisha wanted the double portion. All right. But Elijah said, you come and follow me. So he follows him to three places. And he says, just come and come. And he said, you're asking me a very difficult thing. But if you see me, and if it happens, and you see me when I go, and you know that you perhaps you may receive the double portion. But he said, you asked me a very difficult thing. All right. Maybe some of us were asking God for a difficult thing. We're wanting something really difficult, right? God is the God of increase. He wants to give it to us. Now, I want to say this to you, though. How much is our want to? We want the increase, but how much do we want it? We can all want an increase, but how much will actually put the feet and the hands in the work? Or they say, get your hands dirty, you know, meaning, you know, you got to get your hands into the work and actually receive it. You know, it doesn't just come by sitting. You know, Elisha had to really follow. And you know, while he was following, the prophets were saying to you, don't you know that he is, you know, God is taking him. He's like, shh, silence. I know. If he was Malaysian, he would say, I know already. What, you tell me again? Right, that's if he's Malaysian, right? But he said, but three times, they kept pestering him. They say, don't you know this and this and that? I know. Don't kachow me already. Okay, listen. Okay. All right. But the thing is, how much do we want? It comes down to how much we want to. If we really want to, you know, you'll find the way to do it. You'll find, you know, you'll run for it. You'll make it happen. Is that true? Even if it costs you a little bit less sleep? No, some of you, no, not really. Okay. It will cost you something and you're willing because you want it. Because you desire something. And, you know, I'm being challenged. You know, I may have said earlier that I think I have grown a little bit in the Lord as I've been growing throughout the years. But I realize as I hear what's happening around the body of Christ, there is so much more. I mean, just listen to Bob Jones, for example. You realize, wow, there's so much more. All right? But it's going to come down to my want to as well. Right? We're all being challenged in this time. How much do we want to? Let me finish with this, and it ties in with the last point. Make provision in the Word and in the Spirit. If we want to prepare well, we need this thing here. We need the provision of the Word and the Spirit. We'll need that. So give yourself to the... I mean, when I say give yourself, that means receive from the Falfo. Don't shut yourself off. Maybe you've shut yourself off. But like I said in the beginning of the message, the preparation is going to lead to a turning of the people to Father God, spiritual children to spiritual parents, and children to their own parents. Is that amen? So receive that so that we can reach to the full potential of what God wants us to be. We don't want to miss out. We don't want to miss the wave. We want to catch the wave. Amen? So make the provision in the Word and the Spirit. I finish with this. Okay, Isaiah chapter 59, verse 21. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them, my Spirit which is upon them, my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants. Descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. It is the measure that we measure with, how much we receive and use it, is the measure that God will give us back. How big is it? How much is it? It's up to us. Do you want to or you don't want to? See, the parables, when Jesus spoke in parables, the whole idea was to hide it from those who didn't want to find out, and to reveal it to those who were hungry, those who were open, right? So the idea, God speaking in parables, but how much do they want to, right? Good thing, the disciples says, Lord, what did you mean? The parables of the wheat and tares. And so we explain to them, you know, how much is our want to? How much is your want to? It comes really important when we talk about the Word and the Spirit, and this is how I conclude the last slide here. Because as much preparation we can get into, right? There's an amount of doing. There's an amount of trying. There's an amount of how much do we want. But, you know, I realize something. You know, sometimes no matter how much we try, no matter how we try with our own flesh, it just doesn't seem to work. So you just don't know how much more then do I need to do? All right? And I think this is something that God is trying to teach me right now, is come into a place of rest. What I mean is, if anything is going to happen, you're not gonna boast on because you did this, because you prayed, or we should pray. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we don't pray. But what I'm saying is the emphasis is not because we did it, because I was strong, or because you know, I did this and this and this and that. However, we will turn to the Lord and say it is because of His Word and His Spirit. How do I know that? It's because, the Bible itself tells us it's going to happen. It's going to happen supernaturally. And we're not going to be able to do it by the works of the flesh. And this is how I finish. Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 8 makes it very clear. And this is where we finish. It says, this is how we're going to finish. This is how we're going to win. All right? Right? We'll win, right? We're just going to keep winning, right? Daniel chapter 2, the smiting stone cut without hands, who crushes the ten toes of the great image of the world kingdoms. It is the stone cut without hands, supernaturally. Amen? Not the works of men. Look at that. Chapter 7, Messiah comes as the Son of Man and destroys the beast with 10 horns and the little horn and establishes His everlasting kingdom. It is the Messiah who is going to come and establish, all right? Amazing. Daniel chapter 8, listen to this one. Messiah comes as the Prince of Princes against whom the little horn stands up but is broken without human means or hand. All right? I am not trying to say that we're going to sit on our back and do nothing. But what I'm saying is if we're going to do anything, it is going to be by the power of God and the Word and the Spirit. So I encourage you, and I even encourage myself, is it's a time where, you know, we're preparing well. We're going to be strong in the Word and in the Spirit. I think that's another topic in itself, but get into that, because if anything's going to happen, even, you know, I remember we getting a little bit more involved in the political world right now, and you know, we're a little bit more involved with the Australian Conservatives, obviously a lot more with Adrian. But as you start to keep updates and seeing what are the things that are happening, you're trying to, on the ground, trying to do things, and you're trying to think that, oh, maybe Australian Conservatives is the answer. Maybe that's how the whole nation is going to turn. You know, the right politician is going to come in. And I believe that, you know, there is a place for that. But I think that throughout the time, I think the Lord has been ministering and says, don't trust on a political party. Don't trust in a political leader. Don't trust in man. Trust in the power of God. And prayer has its place, you know, and the Word has its place. Fasting is going to have its place, you know. I'm determined to get more into fasting this year. And but what I'm saying is the emphasis for me has changed. As much as I'm still going to be involved. I'm still going to do things, but my emphasis now is going to be is the Lord God Almighty. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank You. You're preparing a generation that will be so secured in You, so ready, powerfully equipped for the work of the ministry, so that we can be united with the love of God. So much so, in the name of Jesus, there will be a generation that will not be tossed to and fro, but by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. It is not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God in Jesus' name. Thank You for what You're doing. Thank You, Lord, we yield ourselves. Lord, we recognize the things in our lives right now, and we say, Lord, we yield it to You. We reassign our priorities. We'll look at the things in our lives right now. We'll reconsider our ways and reconsider the ways I think of things right now in the name of Jesus. If I've allowed bitterness in my heart right now, we break its power. We make a commitment this morning to be clear from all kinds of things in our hearts, all the stumbling blocks that is blocking our way right now. We make that commitment to You, Lord, this morning. We say, Lord, have Your way. We will see. There will be a generation that will be ready in the name of Jesus. And You and I are going to put up our hands. Lord, we shall be volunteers in the day of Your power. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.